Let's turn in God's Word now to Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34. We're reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 37. And God's people, as we hear now the word of our Lord, let's give our attention to Him as He speaks. These are God's words. Furthermore, Elihu answered and said, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words as the mouth tasteth meat. Let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. For Job hath said, I am righteous, and God hath taken away my judgment. Should I lie against my right? My wound is incurable without transgression. What man is like Job, who drinketh up scorning like water, which goeth in company with the workers of iniquity and walketh with wicked men? For he hath said, It profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with God. Therefore hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do wickedness, and from the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. For the work of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Who hath given him a charge over the earth? Or who hath disposed the whole world? If he set his heart upon man, if he gather unto himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh shall perish together, man shall turn again unto dust. If now thou hast understanding, hear this, hearken to the voice of my words. Shall even he that hateth right govern? And wilt thou condemn him that is most just? Is it fit to say to a king, Thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they all are the work of his hands. In a moment shall they die, and the people shall be troubled at midnight and pass away, and the mighty shall be taken away without hand. For his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death, where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. For he will not lay upon man more than right, that he should enter into judgment with God. He shall break in pieces mighty men without number, and set others in their stead. Therefore he knoweth their works, and he overturneth them in the night, so that they are destroyed. He striketh them as wicked men in the open sight of others, because they turned back from him and would not consider any of his ways, so that they cause the cry of the poor to come unto him, and he heareth the cry of the afflicted. When he giveth quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hideth his face, who then can behold him? Whether it be done against a nation or against a man only, that the hypocrite reign not, lest the people be ensnared. Surely it is meet to be said unto God, I have borne chastisement, I will not offend any more. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. Should it be according to thy mind, he will recompense it, whether thou refuse or whether thou choose. And not I, therefore, speak what thou knowest. Let men of understanding tell me, and let a wise man hearken unto me. Job hath spoken without knowledge, and his words were without wisdom. My desire is that Job may be tried unto the end because of his answers for wicked men. For he addeth rebellion unto his sin. He clappeth his hands among us, and multiplieth his words against God." Those are God's words. Elihu has paused at the end of the last chapter, chapter 33, to see if Job would respond. He did not. And so Elihu here continues Through verse 4, the desire we should all have is what he talks about there. True judgment and what is good. That is what we ought to want and desire ourselves. Through verse 9, he rebukes Job again, and in many verses 10 through 12, 17, 19, and 23, Elihu seeks to convince Job that he spoke wrongly about God's justice. In verses 13 to 15, he spoke wrong about the Lord's sovereign dominion. Verses 20 and 24, he spoke wrongly about God's almighty power. Verses 21 and 22, and then verse 25, he spoke wrong of the Lord's full and perfect knowledge. And verses 26 to 28, the Lord's holiness and severity against the wicked. And verses 29 to 30, the Lord's sovereign overruling providence in all things. And then Elihu seeks to teach Job what he should say instead in verses 31 and 32, and that to humility and turning from sin. And then the rest of the chapter, Elihu calls Job to repentance, and he leaves it upon Job's own conscience with a sharp rebuke of Job's seeming irritability and discontentment before the Lord. And Job does not immediately respond. And yet, we ought to consider the words here as they are. Whether Elihu is right or not, we will find out in the future of his charges against Job. But what Elihu says are all true. And something that, of course, we need, especially humility and knowing the sovereign, almighty power of God, and just humbling ourselves before Him and remembering here, looking in the past, how Job has responded here, how it's taken by others. And we ought to seek to turn from any sin that we've committed. So examine our hearts and lives before Him. We're thankful that we have this promise, even that Elihu teaches us, that the Lord hears the cries of the afflicted. And so we ought to cry out to Him now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. Still, in some ways, unless we spent much more, considerable more time studying this book, many of the things we're hearing here are somewhat confusing, as again it is poetry. We ask for Your help in understanding and growing in knowledge and wisdom of Your Word, even here. That You would teach us Your ways. We're thankful for the various truths that we've learned about You in this chapter, nonetheless. Of Your almighty power, of Your omniscience, of Your holiness and greatness. And Father, we ask that You would turn our hearts to You. We're thankful that You are a merciful God, that You hear the cries of the afflicted. And each of us is afflicted in various ways. Even today, all of us are afflicted by the great enemy and evil of sin. And Father, we ask that You would continue to turn us from it and cause us to hate it because You hate it, and cause us to love righteousness and be encouraged in Christ today. We're thankful that You hear our cries and so answer according to Your will all that we cry out to You. Even as Job has often cried out to You. Our Father, we know that You heard his cries. His losing and being afflicted after losing all of his children and much of his property. And Father, we ask that You would teach us how merciful and gracious You are as we continue to study Job. Father, we ask also that You would be with those who are struggling today in their souls, struggling with anxious thoughts and feelings, struggling with their own hearts and the sin that's afflicting them, and are thankful that the affliction is there and they see it and hate it, and pray that You would grant them relief from it and cleansing of their sin. Our Father, if we pray that it would be more of us who would be so grieved and mourning over our sin, that we would be so afflicted by it. And so bring that upon us, that we might see Your grace all the more in Christ Your Son. But those who are anxious and struggling with their feelings and emotions today in sin, because they're worried about the things and cares of the world, Father, turn them from such sin and cause all of us to turn from such cares, because we care so much about the world and so little about You and about Your Word and about Your worship and the Gospel. Father, forgive us of our many sins of unfaithfulness before You, and turn us to Christ Your Son and our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we know, as we do come confessing our sins today, even the sins that we'll hear about regarding the second and fourth commandments today, Thou shalt not make unto Thee any graven image, and to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. As we hear more about that this day, and Father, as we are confronted and rebuked of our own sin and our love of the world and our love of our own man-made traditions, Father, we ask that You would turn us to You in Christ, and that we would cry out to You for help and for Your mercy. For You are a holy, holy, holy God, almighty in power, and You know the thoughts and intents of our heart. And so, Father, even now, forgive us of our sins and turn us from it, and grant us humble ears and hearts and wills to receive Your Word with faith and obedience unto Your Son, Jesus Christ, by the grace of the Holy Spirit working in us. Father, today we don't know why there are so many missing, perhaps sickness. We do pray that You would heal any who are sick and strengthen their bodies, that they may return unto us again and worship with us. We do ask and we do give You praise that Chuck and Jeannie are here this Lord's Day after having been Chuck having been sick for a few weeks. We're thankful that You answered our prayers concerning them. And so we pray the same for the many others who are missing today, who are sick, that You would heal them, that they would return and worship You aright, that we together would glorify Your name together in worship. We're thankful for worship. We're thankful for the Lord's Day in which we are blessed to rest in You and not in ourselves or in our anything else, our pleasures, entertainments, and things like that. Our Father, we ask that You would make our hearts more aware of Your Word. Make them more sensitive to sin and holiness. And make us to be a people who love You above all things, above all others. Father, today we pray for our nation. We know, again, as we are studying this morning, the Sabbath day, that our nation has rebelled against You and rebelled against Your commandment in the Sabbath. We see, as we even travel to worship today, how many people are out on the roads, not on their way to worship, which would be a great blessing to see, but they're on their way to shop, buy things, entertain themselves, work, and things like this. And Father, what a great travesty that is. And that's why, again, more and more of this nation is being judged. Continually judged by these lesser judgments that you bring in natural, what we would, the world calls natural disasters, but they're sent by you. Judgments from you. We see that our nation has continually turned to other sins because of breaking this sin and not worshiping you, and therefore worshiping their own gods. And so, Father, we pray that you would turn this nation to yourself, and you would turn the hearts of our leaders and the citizens, and that this nation, again, we plead, would covenant with Christ, to which we know all nations will one day, whether it's this nation or another nation that has destroyed this nation and conquered it. All nations will come and covenant with you, your Son, who is the King of Kings. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring that about in this nation and for these people, our fellow men, man in this nation, and even for the sake of the righteous who are here. We would love to see the streets filled with travelers to worship, and even worshiping the true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, as our catechism says, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Our Father, may your name be praised today, and may we see Jesus Christ, your Son. We pray that you would grant us to see his holiness and his love for us and his care for us in giving us the Sabbath day. We praise you for it, and we ask for your help now as we continue worshiping you. In Jesus' name, amen.